Hello again, Rob Thomas here. We're continuing the job hunting series. Today we're going to talk about actually some targeting for your job hunt, and we're going to talk about tightening up and presenting your resume and your cover letter. Thanks for joining, and let's get to it. Just a quick review. We talked about the power of human connections and making sure that we're interacting with people in our network and we're watering all those relationships. We reviewed a little bit about that indeed in the last video. And we talked about the strategies for actually building even new and additional personal relationships, the strategies around building and creating new professional relationships, and all of those different targets in those different areas that perhaps we hadn't considered yet. We've also talked about the tech tools and the old school tools, and I call them the shoe leather, but the things that we can do. And all of these things are part of this process. And all of these things bring us to the next part of this conversation. But remembering that all throughout this, that we're applying dedication, discipline, and we're trying to remove distractions from the process. All of these steps matter, and they all come together, and this all ties into this next piece where we're going to get into, you know, the dirty paperwork, so to speak. And part of that process is also reviewing what has been working for us in all of these things that we reviewed, and even in the actual cover letter and resume writing and creating and updating and editing process. We want to talk about the things that matter to us. We want to think about what those are. You know, what are the things that I like versus what are the things that I love? And what are some of the must-haves in my life, in my job, in my career path? And perhaps maybe what are some of the future skills or future goals that I have, that this might not necessarily be the end goal, but this is like the next step, right? And this is going to set me up for something else. And I want to start thinking about these things, and I want to start building kind of a targeting diagram. And not only for the job, but for my life and ultimately for my happiness. Thank you for all of the people that have, you know, had that kind of input in my life and helped me kind of set up this plan. And a big thanks to the authors of the book, Dark Horse. Once again, I've mentioned them before, but it really kind of helped crystallize a lot of the things that I've been thinking about and actually doing, even kind of unconsciously throughout the course of my life, in pursuing my personal and my professional goals and happiness. But I'm going to add to that. We also have to consider what our micro detractors are and the things that, you know, the things I don't like. What are the things about my current life or situation or even previous jobs that maybe things that I hated, you know, and maybe there's things that are must nots, like I am never, ever going to do X again, or I don't, that can't possibly be a situation that I'm going to put myself in ever again because I was just miserable. So I want to make sure that I have a really good balance and understanding of the things that motivate me and the things that demotivate me. And maybe there's, you know, again, those future never agains, you know, the things that are absolutely deal breakers that I was just miserable personally or professionally. And I want to make sure that I'm guiding the course and the track and the plan. And I have a really clear understanding, you know, of, you know, creating my passion and not creating my misery or avoiding that and making sure that I set myself up for success. And through this analysis and looking at all of these things in my life, there's always going to be what I'm going to call these micro tweaks, you know, these micro decisions, these micro opportunities that we have. And I've discovered, you know, what things are working in my process and plan, in my personal life, in my financial life, in my career life, in my education life, in my spiritual life, all of these areas. What's not working? What habits am I continuing to perhaps indulge in that are not creating value for me? And how do I perhaps change that? Where can I do research? Where can I get new information? You know, and from my experience, you know, what type of resets, what type of realignments and revaluation of things can I do? And All of this is part of continuous conversations and collaboration that I have with other people that are in my trusted circle that we talked about really early in this series, that I have this circle of confidants and mentors and teachers and coaches and guides. Some of them are at the same level in their life as me. Some are a little below, some are ahead, but we're all on the path together, helping, motivating, sharing new information and ideas, and we're all moving forward and growing together. And I have to keep adding that new information into my valuation system and into my workflow and into all the things that I'm doing to set my life up to move forward. Now, all of this applies specifically in this particular talk to, now I've got an idea about maybe targeting a specific industry for a job, like maybe some local targets, like maybe in my country or even in my local city or state. And I'm still going to refer to my rule of five, right, that I talked about previously in the series, where I've got to pick some targets. Maybe yours is a rule of three. Maybe yours is a rule of seven. That's okay. And again, putting myself on their site, again, finding out the recruiters that are servicing them and doing all the necessary things to set me up in their system, to get on their radar, to start that investigative process, you know, looking for the specific jobs, and then making sure that those are the jobs that I'm going to apply to in that target industry with those target companies. And again, maybe there's tiers of targeting, but I definitely, like, I have my echelon of my first choices. And then maybe if those aren't panning out immediately, there's second choices, there's third choices. And we've talked about this before, but there's other options. Like, is my choice set limiting me too much? Is the way I'm going about this, my workflow and my targeting system, not getting it done? I've got to feed that back into the micro tweak conversation that we had even in the last video about always readjusting, always retargeting, always reworking. So there's a possibility that maybe I've got to broaden my targets. You know, maybe I've got to change the way that I'm looking at this. And maybe there's an international possibility. Maybe I do need to consider, working remotely or traveling. Maybe I need to consider that I might want to take the opportunity and take the challenge of learning a new language to be able to work maybe somewhere else and gain additional exposure and skill, or taking on greater responsibilities than maybe I'm comfortable with. Maybe I should have that stretch goal where about 30 or 40% of the new job that I'm going after is a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, you know, and maybe I should try to present myself as someone that can actually achieve that. Maybe there's a whole completely new set of skills, a completely new trade, a completely new industry. Maybe it's time for a complete reset and to try something new and different. Again, maybe building my own company, maybe being self-employed, maybe other things. You know, maybe it's finally time for me to write that book that I've been talking about for years and actually finish it. There's a lot of different opportunities here, but I have to keep looking at the things that matter to me, the things that I don't want, and the opportunities that are available to me, and maybe the opportunities that I need to create. And this is a constant process of self-observation, evaluation, adjustment, rinse and repeat. So now let's get into the paperwork. And there's some interesting things about cover letters that I'm a really big fan of. A really well-written and well-delivered and executed cover letter. That's one of my favorite things to do. Like, I get excited about writing a cover letter because I think this is my opportunity to get in there and catch somebody's attention. Whenever possible, we want to make sure that it's addressed to someone specifically. If we can get that kind of inside track information, that's awesome. We don't always have an opportunity, but if we can, absolutely take advantage of that. I think it's also important to be very clear about why I am writing to them. Right? I need to establish right up front. I need to express my interest in this job. I want this job because it speaks to this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's got to be a reason why I'm there. It's got to be something that's pretty, it's got to be an engaging statement. You know, I want a job. You know, I think you guys are cool. You have to bring some passion and enthusiasm into that opening statement about why you're engaging with them. You've got to capture their attention. You've got to explain why you're the right fit. You've got to align you as a person, you as your motivation, and you as your experience to this particular role. And in writing that, you also have to demonstrate an understanding of what they're asking for. When you read the job description, you should be able to pull from that what problems they're trying to solve. And you should be able to write this in such a way that you're coming there to solve some of those needs for them. And there's a possibility here for you to add maybe a little bit of additional background that's relevant, but you want to make sure that you're keeping it clean, concise, direct, and it's got to have that flow where you kind of walk through these objectives that I'm talking about, and make sure that you're using very creative and powerful verbs when you're describing how you're a right fit and when you're demonstrating some of your background that's relevant. Make sure that it's not repetitive and redundant, but also make sure that you're not also reaching and going completely over the top. Like, you don't want your descriptions of who you are and your experience and your enthusiasm to be too much. You want it to temper it just enough so that it's interesting and it's engaging without coming off as just like you're trying too hard. There's a really interesting balance there. It has to be enthusiastic. And you, of course, have to express gratitude and thanks and a little bit of humility without being too gushy, you know, and without being too needy. Again, there's confidence and gratitude, and there's this interesting balance that you always have to display to hit that right tone in a cover letter. And you want to make sure that it's perfect. This is your chance to shine. You have to proofread it, get other people to proofread it. Don't completely regurgitate your resume. That's not going to work. And look for examples. Use your Google Foo and look for really well-written cover letters and talk to other people that you know that maybe have written their own that are stellar or outstanding. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to look for examples and always do your research. This will set you up and try. And the cover letter is going to be targeted for every single opportunity. There should be an individual cover letter. All right. And it should represent your understanding of the job and what they need. So, of course, we could research on the internet and probably find, here's the 250 things that you need to do, you know, to write the perfect resume. I picked some, and in no particular order, but let's talk about a few. I reviewed someone's resume recently, and there was no contact information. They had their name, but there was no address, there was no email, there was no phone number. So if they're sending this out into the world, there's no way anybody knows how to get in touch with them. Hopefully, perhaps through like a site. But if I had just gotten this blindly, like or handed to me, like there's no way I could have followed up. If there's any typos in your resume, that's a huge detractor, especially for somebody like me. You know, I'm certainly not the most educated and the most perfect writer or speller or user of grammar. But God, when I see somebody that has typos in their resume, I just think if they don't have the attention to detail for this first shot, this one time that they're going to make a first impression with someone, what are they going to do when I actually hire them? Are they going to care? Are they going to have that level of scrutiny and that attention to the perfection and details that I would require, you know, from someone that works for me? You know, I'm certainly allow for people to be human and possibly to make mistakes, but it's got to be right. And I've gotten resumes with inconsistent fonts and, you know, where they've cut and pasted things and it's just jumbled and garbled. And like, no, you have to have that level of precision, that preciseness, and you have to make sure that things are smooth. Formatting, of course, consistent formatting. You know, if your margins and things are off, and you know, you have the job title and the location and the date and time in the format this way, but then on the next line it's different. These things are very distracting to somebody like me that might be a little bit OCD. So you have to make sure that you take the time to go through this and make sure that it's tight. The style matters. Be current. And I'm going to admit something here. I have my old way of doing resumes was awful. It was this giant block of paragraphs with just Times New Roman, and it was just blah, blah, blah. Awful, awful resume. I don't know how I ever got a job with my old resume. So make sure that the style is current, it's clean, it's open, and you're not cramming too much stuff in there. And look at other styles and see what they look like. And look, find resumes that look good to you, perhaps, and mimic them. Again, we're going to use creative and powerful verbs in our resume, just like we would use in our cover letter. But don't overreach. Don't under, there's a nuance there. There's a really good sweet spot where you're describing yourself and you're describing what you do. I'm going to recommend that it's concise. 1-2 pages max. I've gotten 7-8 page resumes. I understand that some people have some long history of working. I certainly do. Don't do it. Make sure that it's concise, and make sure that it's something that somebody can review and skim very quickly and pick out the stuff that they need to identify whether or not you're going to be a good candidate. You're going to make sure that there's some targeted keywords in that resume that kind of match the industry and the job that you're going for. But again, there's nuance here. You do it too much and you're just going to get thrown in a circular file. You know, if it's obvious that you're trying too hard to like match in a line, so be careful, do it a little, keep it smooth. Grammar. Enough said. And you got to highlight the goods, right? So if there are certain things about you that perfectly align with this specific job, make sure those are in a skill part of your resume that's highlighted and separate. There's a little table, and make sure that the good things that you need for the recruiter and the hiring manager to see that immediately align you as a potential candidate are in that section of your resume. And again, review examples of good and bad resumes. Do your research, watch videos. Don't be afraid to hire a professional. This is one of the most important documents that you'll ever have in your life. If you're out there competing with the other 500 people that are going after that same job that you are. So why wouldn't you ask for help? Why wouldn't you ask for people to proofread and critique and maybe even hire someone to help you with this? Make sure that it gives a very clear picture of your experience. But again, don't make the mistake that I made in the past with these giant, awful paragraphs of text. Make sure that you have concise bullets that are descriptive and functionally quickly indicate the relevant bits about what you actually did at that job. What did you solve at that job? What problems did you solve? What did you create at that job? What did you achieve at that job? That's important. And always, always, always got to be fact-based. If you stray from the facts and you get busted, you will be blacklisted. We've talked about that. There are jobs where their HR will just blacklist you forever if they ever catch you doing those kind of shenanigans. So just make sure that you keep it straight. And show them the numbers, right? If you have sales background, of course, if you're managing people, what kind of data can you back up that possibly is even verifiable that you can represent? Like these are the actual numbers that I've accomplished. And there's always going to be industry specific bits that you need to put in your resume. Look at other resumes in your industry, look for examples and understand what are the things that, or even look for things that in the job descriptions and compare and contrast what the job descriptions look like for the posts versus what the resumes in those industries look like, and make sure that you're kind of doing a meld and blend of those. Your design, overall design and layout, of course, is important, as well as the formatting. different industries might have a different tweak that you need. I would say that depending on your industry, like I come from the tech industry and overly flamboyantly, amazingly arted, colorful resume is not impressive in my industry, but maybe it matters in the one that you're going into. So understand by example and by asks and by research, what type of design and layout makes sense. And talk to professionals about that. One of the things that is a pet peeve of mine is those empty phrases. And I'm trying to think of one like demonstrated effectiveness, you know, or something like just kind of like too pat, too corporate-y. Make sure that what you're talking about is very specific and very clear. You know, don't make these generalized statements that just kind of, you know, I'm really good at making the room smell better. I don't know. You know, it's a goofy example, but just I want to make sure that it's factual, that it's tight, and that it points very clearly to things that we solve, that we create, that we achieve. If there's gaps in your employment, that's okay. A lot of people panic about that. And I've even like talked to people that have stretched their hire and release dates to try to cover gaps. Don't do it. That is a form of being of lying, really. And just be able to speak to the gap. You know, hey, you know, I took a sabbatical. I went to India and I was meditating for a year, whatever that is, right? And if it's something that's uncomfortable, something that might be a detractor in an interview, always be factual. But be able to tell the story in a way that kind of lessens the potential negativity that might result from that, okay? And don't be afraid to put other experience in there that covers those gaps that may or may not be completely relevant to the particular job that you're going for. Maybe you've got diverse experience, like I certainly do, in your work history. But be able, maybe look at that work experience and think about how it might align to the new gig. I think it's important to show, there's people, this is controversial, right? Some people are like, no, don't do this. I think it's important for me to have a little section in my resume that shows some of my other interests. This very quickly helps a hiring manager or even a recruiter identify that perhaps I'm a human, right? That there's other things about me. Like I do a lot of other volunteer work and things and involved with other organizations. And it's important for them to know that. That's my opinion. I think that matters. And if you're involved in any other volunteer organizations or relevant industry organizations, based upon, you know, what you're trying to go for, or maybe you should join one, right? And be involved in it as part of something that you can check off on your resume. I think it's important for people to see that too, that this is something that matters enough to you in your life that you're actually engaged outside of your normal working hours. More stuff. And again, there's 150, but these are the last of them. If you did really well in school, if you've got amazing grades, if you're earlier in your career, that matters, throw it in there. You know, that at least can demonstrate that, you know, you've got some gain. Definitely list your education level, your experience, and any certifications and things that you have. But be very careful if anybody comes to you and asks you for examples of your work from previous jobs, never ever give another company any intellectual property. And I've actually had to do that. I've been asked in interviews, can you give us any examples of this? I'm like, well, that all of that is the IP of my previous job. I can try to scrub it and maybe sanitize it a little bit, but always be careful about that if you're ever asked. Also, if you have any significant awards that matter or even industry specific, it certainly can be appropriate to include those. But again, depending upon like, are you reaching or trying too hard, make sure it's something that is solid enough or big enough to matter, right? And then there's everything else, you know, how much do you include? How much do you exclude? You may have other bits or other work experience or other things that matter, other specific experience or things that you've worked on. Make sure that you consider all of the other things that are part of your work experience and part of your life experience that may or may not matter. Choose carefully. Again, not too much. And maybe it's better to leave some things out than to add them. Consider it and maybe even discuss it. The objective statement is something that, depending upon what industry expert you talk to, some people are like, just leave it out. I'm going to be honest, I don't read them anymore. I don't care. I want to see what your work experience is. And hopefully you've written a good cover letter. Some people will say that the objective statement is another place to shine. I really just want the facts from your resume. And next we'll talk about, let's talk about keeping it recent. Someone with a long work history like mine, I certainly can't show, you know, my years and years of work experience. So I really keep it, one of the recommendations is to keep it to like the last 10 years and what's relevant, you know, current, what applies. Now, if I'm shifting and changing industries, then there's some, perhaps some creative keywords and some other things that I'm going to need to incorporate into that, keeping it real, keeping it truthful, but making sure that I generate a natural understanding that all of my other experience is relevant, you know, and I've done all this stuff, you know, and I've put in the powerful creative verbs and I've put in these great bullet points and everything's aligned with my numbers and the things I've achieved and all of this great, you know, I've constructed this beautiful resume. Now go back at it, look at it, and maybe tone it down a little. We have a tendency to like really want to oversell ourselves and come over the top and demonstrate how completely amazing we are, which is awesome. But then maybe dial it down a notch and don't try to oversell too much. Again, there's this nuance, there's this balance, and you want to get right up to the edge of being awesome without stepping over the line and being ridiculous, if that makes sense, right? And again, I'm gonna say this again, truth, truth, truth. I literally just got a resume for a job that I'm interviewing people for, and they changed their job title in their resume to match the name of the job that I've actually posted and I'm interviewing for. Their work experience and the company that they work for has nothing to do with the job. They just literally went in there and said, oh, let me throw this in there. Maybe I'll get caught in a filter. Bad idea. I threw their resume in the trash as soon as I saw that they did that. And of course, reverse chronological order matters, and making sure that it logically makes sense. You know, and again, that the job start and stops make sense. And making sure you're very clear on the gaps we talked about and that all of that flows. And again, these are a couple of highlights. They were in no particular order and they're not necessarily like all of the important things. There's 150 resume tips out there that you'll see. But I just wanted to make sure that these are some of the things that I know that certainly have popped out to me in my experience. And we take all of this. We've got now this really good cover letter. We've got this really good resume. And we have to be prepared and ready to use it. We have to distribute it. We have to put it out on the sites. We've got to keep it relevant. We've got to keep it accurate. We've got to keep it clean. And we'll go back to those earlier comments about the micro tweaks, the adjustments. You know, if we're in interviews and people point out certain things about this, or if we sit down with other people and they read it and critique it, another person writes it, does a rewrite for us, then we make sure and we go and repopulate and refresh that out everywhere. And we make sure that we've got, again, that good, easily accessible electronic copy that I can literally zip from my phone to somebody if I need to. So we've established our market. We've worked our network. We're using all the tools that are available to us. And then we actually go out there and we're marketing ourselves. And I was on Reddit yesterday. And I saw someone on Reddit complaining. They're like, you know, I send my resume out to all these places and I never hear anything, or I just get denials. I'm so tired of this process. You know, da 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 da. I completely understand. I understand the frustration. I understand how much work it takes. But you have to be willing to work everything else that I talked about, you know, with people, putting in the time, putting in the sweat, working your network. Most jobs are gotten that way. This is this other stream that we're doing where we're actually using the job sites, we're using the company sites, this is the least likely way that we're going to get a job. Facts. But this is a numbers game. And you can't let yourself get like emotionally dejected, depressed, discouraged. You apply to 100 jobs to maybe get a couple of nibbles, to maybe get one interview, maybe. And then you do it again. And then you do it again. And then you do it again. If you don't have the networking resources and the people in your personal and professional pool that are pulling for you to get you into all the other 70% of jobs or 80% of jobs that are never even posted and that are always gotten through networking, this is the other part of the process. But if this is the part of the game that you have to resort to, then do it very well and follow these tips and do your homework and be disciplined and be dedicated and just keep grinding at it. It will work. There's a lot of jobs out there and the job market is turning around and companies are always hiring, and that's starting to increase. And all of the jobs that we've talked about and all the different job markets and the ways that you can achieve employment, take advantage of that. So I hope this helped. Thanks again for joining us. Please don't forget to check out the links below, and you can hang out with us on Discord or Twitch. And feel free to ask any questions here in this YouTube channel. And otherwise, happy job hunting and happy streaming.